Blog Talk Radio.
Woo!
You lied to me.
I know.
You lied about a lot.
I'm trying.
Don't worry about it. This whole thing's probably my fault anyway.
How many of us have not had that conversation that we heard earlier in our head? You know, you lied to me. This whole thing's probably my fault anyway. Tell me that's not what you're saying to yourself after surefire picks like C.J. Anderson are killing our fantasy season. Andrew Luck, 19 points after three games, and he's ranked 23rd overall at quarterback behind Alex Smith and even Ryan Mallett, who only played two games. Again, I go back to that intro, Maroon 5 wake-up call for their video, you know, oh, you lied to me. Oh, fantasy gods, you lied to us. You prognosticators with your magazines. Marshawn Lynch has 3 points on the season. Lamar Miller has as many points as Trent Richardson, who isn't even on a team. I mean, at least they're doing better than Melvin Gordon owners, huh? Negative 1 point for Melvin Gordon. Or how about Doug Martin owners? Negative 2 points. They have fewer points than Ray Rice, and he hasn't played in the league in, what, a year and a half? Three games down, at least 9 games left to go on the show that would never lie to you. It's the King for a Day Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host and the commissioner of King for a Day, Rick Goreski, coming to you today with Week 4 previews. That's what today's show is all about. Before we get out the darts and start throwing them at a board to predict Week 4, let me chime in on some interesting tidbits as we exit the first quarter of our regular season. 12-game regular season, we're 3 games in, so that's 1/4 of the way. Here's what we're looking at. These are interesting stats. 4 teams are undefeated right now, including 3 from the Renaissance Conference, which are Lost in the Sauce, Meat Puppets, and Kenosha Commandos, and 1 team from the Gothic, the Muskego Raiders. 4 teams are winless right now, two from each conference, including the Beerman's Brawlers, Saiyans, Wolfpack, and Made Men. Most points scored. 2 teams have hit the 300-point threshold already, led by Lost in the Sauce's 340 and the Kenosha Commandos' 316. Others close to the 300 mark are the Hurricanes, who are at 295. They're tops in the Gothic Conference. 294 from the Phantoms, 292 from the Muskego Raiders, 288 from the Meat Puppets, and 283 from Gracie's Got Game. Fewest points scored. That award, unfortunately, for the first quarter, goes to the Pale Riders, who at 194 points for the season are the only team in the league not to break the 200-point barrier. Next up is Champs of Chaos, who, thanks to 12 points in this past Thursday's game, are currently at 200 points on the dot. Last but not least, the Saiyans have scored 206 points total on the year. Those are your fewest, lowest scoring teams thus far. Started slow out the gate. Most points scored against is next. That's what we're going to look at next, the category of most points scored against. where the Made Men are the only team in the league to have given up 300 points. They have 300 points scored against them in three games. That's 100 points a game scored against the Made Men. I mean, that's rough. Do you need an explanation why he's 3-0 or 0-3? 100 points a game scored against you, it's no wonder that you're 0-3. The Oldham Ogres are a close second, 297 points having been scored against them. Somehow they're 1-2. Wolfpack, 292. They are 0-3. The Gators, 291, are 1-2. Bierman's Brawlers have had 286 points scored against them. They're 0-3. And the Saiyans have had 283 points scored against them. They're 0-3. All four of the league's winless teams are on this most points scored against list. Power rankings. The power rankings show that the Muskego Raiders are the team to beat in King for a Day right now, followed by Lost in the Sauce, Kenosha Commandos, Meat Puppets, and then the A-Team. Strength of schedule says five teams are tied with the toughest schedule if you look at it by opponent wins, opponent record. That's Bierman's Brawlers, Phantoms, Saiyans, Irishmen, and Made Men all have a 20-16 combined record of their opponents for the year. Now, that's one way of looking at it, wins and losses. If you judge by total points, if you consider that to be the gauge as far as the toughest schedule, then the five teams with the toughest schedule at this point, based on adding up the total points of their opponents, are the Champions of Chaos. They have 3,255 points if you add up all their opponents. Muskego Raiders, 3,213. Oldham Ogres, 3,125. Bierman's Brawlers, 3,123. And the Irishmen, 3,110. The easiest schedules thus far are, by record, the Dirty Hippies, 14-22 is the opponent's combined record, and Make It Rain, 15-21 combined opponent record. Or, if you want to look at opponent points scored against, Damage Inc. has the easiest schedule with 2,851 opponent points. Gators with 2,942 are next. Hurricanes, 2,957. A-Team, 2,962. And Kenosha Commandos, 2,972. All those teams pretty closely grouped together, except for Damage Inc., who's at the lowest at 2,851. Thus far, the toughest division is the Gold Division, where three teams are tied for first place at 2-1. The top division by points scored is the Gray Division, with a combined 1,077 points having been scored. The Red Division is second at 1,074. Top players after three games include, let's recap some of the individual performances. Aaron Rodgers leads the quarterbacks, leads really everybody in the league. 65 points on the year, that's averaging 21.67 a game. Tom Brady is next at 59 points, that's 19.67 a game. And Carson Palmer is third, 56 points, 18.67 a game. For running backs, Jamaal Charles leads the way, 36 points on the year, that's 12 points a game. Devontae Freeman, thanks to his 27-point blow-up just last week, 33 points on the season, 11 points a game. Adrian Peterson has 25 points on the season, that's 8.33 a game. D'Angelo Williams, 24 points, which comes to 8 points a game. And then Mark Ingram and Deion Lewis are tied with 22 points, an average of 7.33 a game. Wide receiver Julio Jones leads the wide receivers at 51 points on the season, averaging 17 points a game. Larry Fitzgerald, 45 points on the season, averaging 15 points per game. Antonio Brown has scored 38 points this year, an average of 12.67 a game. Travis Benjamin, believe it or not, from Cleveland. Benjamin, 33 points on the season, 11 points a game. And five other players are tied at 30 points, which comes to 10 points a game. At the tight end position, Rob Gronkowski, no surprise, is the leader at 33 points, 11 points a game. Tyler Eifert comes in second at 27 points overall for the year, 9 points a game. Jason Witten and Greg Olsen are next, each having 25 points on the year, averaging 8.33 a game. Travis Kelce rounds out the top five tight ends, 23 points overall, 7.67 a game. Place kicker, Steven Gaskowski from the Patriots, 35 points, 11.67 a game. John Brown of the New York Giants, 34 points, 11.33 a game. Stephen Hoschka of Seattle, 30 points, that's 10 points a game. And Mason Crosby and Justin Tucker tied at 28 points, 9.33 a game. Defensive line, no surprise, J.J. Watt leads the group, 29 points on the year, that's 9.67 points a game. Jaquez Smith from Tampa Bay is next at 27 points, that's 9 points a game. Aaron Donald of the Rams, 24 points, 8 points a game. And Jay Howard, 22 points, 7.33 a game. And Robert Quinn, 20 points for the year, 6.67 a game. Linebacker, Preston Brown has 38 points, that's 12.67 a game. Paul Posluszny, 36 points on the year, that's 12 points a game. Next up, Sean Lee and Jamie Collins are tied at 35 points, which is an average of 11.67 per game. And the unknown Uni Unga of the Giants, filling in for the injured John Beeson, has put up 33 points on the year. That's an average of 11 points a game. At defensive back, Tyron Mathau, the Honey Badger, 32 points. That leads defensive backs, an average of 10.67 a game. Rashad Jones, Jimmy Smith of Baltimore, and Josh Norman of Carolina are all next and tied at 31 points overall. That's 10.33 a game. And last but not least, Malcolm Jenkins and Marcus Peters, both tied at 30 points, which is 10 points a game. The high player point totals for the year thus far include 33 points from Aaron Rodgers in Week 3, 27 points from Devontae Freeman in Week 3, 25 points from Ben Roethlisberger in Week 2, 23 points from Ryan Shazier in Week 2, and also 23 points from Andy Dalton in Week 3. So our highest scores range from 23 points to 33 points regardless position. That's your high scores. If we zero in on each position, the high scores are Aaron Rodgers, again, Week 3, 33 points. He leads quarterbacks. Devontae Freeman, 27 points from Week 3, leads all running backs. Wide receiver, Larry Fitzgerald, scored 24 points in Week 2. That's the high mark for wide receivers this year. 21 points from Rob Gronkowski in Week 1, as well as Greg Olsen in Week 3, is the high water mark for tight ends. Place kicker, Week 2 saw Steven Gaskowski score 16 points. Defensive line, J.J. Watt, Armonte Bryant, and Jaquez Smith have each hit 16 points this season at the defensive line spot. Ryan Shazier scored 23 points to lead all linebackers in Week 2. And three are tied at 18 points at defensive back with Kerry Williams and Josh Norman in Week 1 and Tony Jefferson in Week 2. So that's kind of a first quarter wrap-up to our season. Thought it would be interesting to just get some stats out there. And let's move over and get closer to Week 4. The Gothic Conference did have a big 10-player trade occur this week. Legion of Doom makes their second trade in 2 weeks, this time with the Pale Riders. Legion of Doom sends to the Pale Riders David Carr, Justin Forsett, Antonio Gates, Nigel Bradham, and Harrison Smith. In exchange for that, the Pale Riders send Legion of Doom Eli Manning, LeGarrette Blount, Tyler Eifert, Brandon Marshall, the linebacker of Denver, not the wide receiver, and defensive back Antoine Bethea of San Francisco. So with all that news out of the way, let's go ahead. Let me put on my little Swami hat and make some predictions here. In the Gothic Conference, first game is the 1-2 Damage Inc. taking on the 2-1 Make It Rain. Just by matchups, I have to go with damage in this one. They have Luck against Jacksonville, Ingram against Dallas, Cobb against San Francisco, which counters just a little bit of Reigns' Aaron Rodgers play, who, by the way, has a tremendous matchup against San Francisco. Speaking of Rain, aside from Rodgers, I just don't like the matchups, and in some instances, the players. He's got Starks in there. Not sure how Starks gets a lot if Lacy is playing, even though there will be maybe some garbage time there. Calvin Johnson against Seattle, not, you know, especially if Richard Sherman is matched up against him. Well, hell, I heard a stat the other day that the Lions have taken 3 shots downfield to Calvin Johnson of 15 yards or more since the third quarter of week 1. We just finished, we have 3 games in the books. Since the third quarter of week 1, they have gone 3 attempts to Calvin Johnson, 15 yards or more. That's ridiculous. And I completely believe that statistic because that's what I see when I watch the games. Calvin Johnson is just being underutilized right now by the Lions. So that was a little mini tangent for me. I'm not a Percy Harvin fan getting back to Make It Rain squad. That's not exciting to me. Add in the fact that Damage Inc. is already up 31-0 thanks to the Thursday night game, and I'm sold. Damage is my pick. The suddenly hot D-Risk at 2-1 takes on the undefeated Muskego Raiders in potentially one of the games of the week. The Thursday game was not kind to Muskego. They ended up with 14 points out of 4 players that were playing in that Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, including their quarterback, who was Michael Vick. Vick ended up with 6 points. Muskego Raiders had Roethlisberger until he got hurt last week, so that's why he's got Vick in the lineup now. Frank Gore has a nice matchup against Jacksonville. DeAndre Hopkins is sure to get his stats against Atlanta. Crabtree has potential against Chicago, but it could be a game where, you know, based on last week when Chicago went 3-and-out on every single possession, it could be a run-the-clock-out situation. So Crabtree better get some points early if that's going to mean anything. Keenan Allen against Cleveland isn't really a great matchup because Cleveland gives up, I think they're amongst the most points to running backs in the league. I think the Chargers make a lot of money on the ground in that one, and that comes opposed to anything through the air. Over to D-Risk, where the matchups aren't that much better, but they are better. Manning should move the ball against Minnesota, Peyton Manning. Giovanni Bernard, depending on how Hill is used, he could put some points on the board against Kansas City. Latavius Murray should pile up some points against Chicago. That should be big. That's a moneymaker right there. I like Macklin and A.J. Green facing off against each other. I think those two can put some points on the board. San Diego kicker in a game where San Diego should run up a lot of points. And the defensive matchups are good with things like the Jets' David Harris facing the Dolphins, Kikahaha against Dallas, T.J. McDonald against the Cardinals. I'm going to go with the upset in this one, and I'm going to pick D-Risk for the win. Next up, Old Helm Ogres. The Ogres take on the 1-2. The 1-2 Ogres take on the 1-2 Pale Riders. It really seems like these two teams seem to find a way to face each other every year, even if they're not in the same conference. Coming off the big 10-player trade, the Pale Riders have a new look. David Carr is their quarterback. Forsett is their running back. Harrison Smith, their DB. For matchups, Forsett is already in the clubhouse with 6 points for the week. David Carr and Amari Cooper are facing Chicago in a very juicy matchup. Probably, like I said, going to need to get those stats early, though. Not going to see a lot of thrown in the fourth quarter of that game, I'm guessing. C.J. Anderson is 1 game away from being an official bust. That's just a fact. He's had some injuries and bad luck, but 1 more game, and it's going to be kind of hard to justify anybody starting him, maybe even holding him on their roster. Carlos Williams is likely to start for Buffalo against the Giants, who have a lot of defensive line and linebacker issues, so that's a good matchup. Kyle Rudolph is a good play against Denver. Believe it or not, Kyle Rudolph is the most targeted receiver for the Vikings thus far after 3 games, so that's a very good matchup. Defensive matchups are good here, too, with the Pale Riders defenders going up against run-heavy teams like the Jets in Carolina, as well as high-volume offenses such as Denver, Arizona, and Philadelphia. For the Ogres, I like all but two of their matchups. I love the Cam Newton-Tampa Bay matchup. Lacy against San Francisco, I think that's money. Fitzgerald against St. Louis is good. Same for Demaryius Thomas against Minnesota. I don't care for the Mike Evans-Carolina matchup. For some reason, Carolina has done a really good job this year of keeping top receivers in check. Bobby Wagner against Detroit is a great matchup. The only thing that hurts it is Seattle's home stat crew has a tendency to award assists over solo tackles. And Kenny Vaccaro against Dallas is one of the better defensive back matchups for the week. So I'm going to go with the Ogres to win this one. And a side comment, if anybody's listening and you haven't taken to doing this, there are, especially on footballguys.com, it's been talked about a lot, different home stadium crews award tackles and assists differently. And it varies from stadium to stadium. So by knowing that, you can really maximize the value out of your defensive players, whether it be a one-week matchup, who should I start, it can be a tiebreaker, or whether it's when you're actually drafting and you're deciding who to take. St. Louis, for instance, is long been known to not give many assists at all. So if you're taking a player in St. Louis, you know you're not going to get a lot of assists. You're going to either get a solo tackle when you hit the road, and your guy's going to get a lot more assists than they will when they're home. Other stadiums, like I think New England was one, I think Washington, even Green Bay, they're very generous with their tackles. They give out lots of solo tackles and assists, but just sharing that, if you're not already on that, that's definitely an edge that you can explore to help yourself. Next up, the winless Made Men take on the 2-1 A-team. With Tony Romo injured, Made Men have turned to Andy Dalton, and so far the Red Rifle has paid off. With a Kansas City team this week that just gave up 5 touchdowns to Aaron Rodgers last week, this could be a pretty good match for Dalton. I do think Adrian Peterson will get his stats against Denver. What else here on Made Men? Not big on Wallace starting this week, but I do like Emmanuel Sanders and Landry. Josh Hill shouldn't even be on the team right now, much less in the starting lineup. Made Men have to get that tight end spot fixed. We've been talking about that since before the season started. Normally, I wouldn't look at any defensive lineman against Peyton Manning, but I think Denver has an offensive line injury at the tackle spot that's going to be guarding Manning's blind side, so that could be a nice play for Everson Griffin. The rest of the defensive matchups look good for Made Men. For the A-team, I like their defensive matchups this week, but not so much on the offensive side of the ball. Tannehill against the Jets is scary. I just can't get that image out of my head of what the Jets did to Andrew Luck. They made him look like Jake Locker. It was just terrible. I just shudder at the thought of that. Jamal Charles is up against a tough Cincy team. Joseph Randall, he may be overrated in my opinion. He had a great first quarter last week, but the Falcons are miserable against the run. And Randall didn't do anything for the rest of the game, so I'm not sold. And I'm going to go on a mini rant about Joseph Randall right now in the sense that I know a lot of people are excited about him and pointing to that game. I ask you, and I've said this to a friend of mine recently, how bad? Yeah, we knew Atlanta's run defense was one of the worst in the league. How bad is Atlanta's run defense when they go into Dallas and Dallas is missing Tony Romo and Dez Bryant? And all they have to do, they got Brandon Weeden as the quarterback. They got, Williams and Cole Beasley are the wide receivers. All they have to do is guard the running game. And they let, in the first quarter, they let Joseph Randall go nuts for 2 big runs. That just tells you, I think that tells you more about Atlanta's run defense than it does about Joseph Randall, because again, Randall didn't do much of anything the rest of the game. Moving on, Julio Jones, he's going to be the top wide receiver this year. He's going to get his against Houston. Brandon Cooks is a wild card against Dallas. He could go off or he could barely make a splash. It could go either way. I think the uncertainty with Drew Brees doesn't help that. The Cleveland tight end thing is a bit of a reach. Whether Scott knows it or not, Oakland gives up the most points in the league to tight ends. So seeing this guy from Cleveland do well last week is likely just because he played Oakland, not because he's some sleeper that's out there to make, you know, make hay with. So I'm going to pick the made men here to upset the A-team, and the made men would carve out their first win of the season. Much needed break due for made men as they've had 100 points a game scored against them. Next up, the 2-1 4U2NV team takes on the winless Wolfpack. I hate to kick a guy when he's down, but I'm going to go with 4U2NV in this one. Wolf is going to stay winless for at least one more week because of 4U2NV's matchups. Wilson and the Seahawks should beat Detroit up on Monday night. Melvin Gordon should have his best game as a pro as he goes up against one of the worst rushing defenses in the league in Cleveland. Marshall of the Jets, he has Miami, and that's a team he used to play for, so guys usually get up for teams they used to play for. Not only that, but it's also a good matchup. Beckham Jr. has Buffalo, who, oddly enough, despite the good defense, has given up a lot of passing yards and receiving touchdowns this year. Greg Olsen against Tampa Bay is a good matchup. Defensively, the 49ers have been giving up good points to linebackers, so Clay Matthews will have a good game, as should Unga of the Giants, unless Beeson pushes him out of the lineup. Beeson finally getting healthy, so that very well may happen. Rashad Jones of Miami is also a good match. For Wolfpack, they have a good matchup or two on offense. Matt Ryan against Houston, James Jones against San Francisco, but I just don't like Carlos Hyde this year. San Francisco's terrible. On defense, the squad has several high-volume offenses that they're going up against, like Green Bay, Philly, and Denver. Those are good matchups, but I don't like the lay of this match between Wolfpack and 4U2NV. That's why I was so quick to pick 4U2NV. It just kind of jumps right out at me. I don't like, for instance, Michael Bennett. This week, Malcolm Smith is great, but against Chicago, again, they had all three and outs last week. How many opportunities are there going to be for tackles when a team is just going three and out, three and out, three and out? Clawson is the quarterback this week, so I don't know why we would expect anything less than what we saw last week. I just don't feel good about the way either Navarro Bowman has been playing up to this point. It's just hard to get excited about that. That's why I'm going with 4U2NV. I just don't see an upside here for Wolfpack this week. Next up is the battle of 2-2-1 teams as the Hurricanes take on Legion of Doom. Possibly the match of the week here in the Gothic. The Hurricanes and the Legion of Doom. Other half of that big trade that I mentioned previously is going to take the field here with their prize acquisition. Legion of Doom acquiring Tyler Eifert and putting them right in their lineup. Legion of Doom now starts Carson Palmer, Matt Forte, Antonio Brown, Chris Ivory, and Steve Smith on offense, along with Eifert at tight end. McManus at place kicker, Quinn at defensive line, Brandon Marshall, the linebacker, Warlow, Telvin Smith, Jordan Hicks, the Honey Badger on defense. That's as good as it gets here in King for a day for the Hurricanes. Just checking my time here, guys. Going back here where I am. For the Hurricanes, they're potentially getting Arian Foster back this week, which is a huge boost to their offensive flex. That's something I've been railing about the last few weeks, that they have a hole in their offensive flex. So Foster coming back would be a big help. I do disclose, though, that is there anybody who doesn't think Foster will get hurt again at some point? I mean, it's going to be great while it lasts, but it's not permanent. C.J. Spiller hasn't done much this year, but he does have an opportunity this week to put up big numbers against Dallas. Hilton and Moncrief, although I don't like starting both, that's nice against Jacksonville. You should be able to get some points out of at least one of those two. Rodgers, the tight end, could catch a touchdown from Rodgers, the quarterback, against a pathetic San Francisco squad. Great defensive matchups here, too. I think it's going to be fun to watch, a competitive game. And I'm going to I'm going to go against my pick to win it all this week, and I'm going to go with the Hurricanes to beat Legion of Doom. Steve Smith and Antonio Brown already got blanked on Thursday night, so Legion of Doom is already starting, not starting, but they're going to head into Sunday behind the eight ball already against the Hurricanes. Moving over to the Renaissance Conference, the 1-2 Irishmen take on the undefeated Meat Puppets. You know, given the preseason predictions of Irishmen, Kyle's squad is actually doing okay right now. And I look at this match and I see a 3-0 team against a team that everybody said would be dead last, and I'm shocked at how close the matchups are on paper. I really could make a case for Irish to win this game, and I almost picked them, but I'm going to go with the Meat Puppets instead. Rodgers against the 49ers is the difference. You look at all the other matchups and positions, Rodgers is the one guy who, as he did last week, can just rain points down, and I think that will be the difference. If Rodgers has a 10 or even 12-point game, I think Irish could pull this out, but I find it hard to believe that Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play a little extra well against the team that slighted him as he entered the league several years back. So Meat Puppets are my pick. I'm going to ask for your patience again, guys, as I blow my nose here. Sorry about that, everybody. I'm a little under the weather and just getting the show taken care of here. Next up, 2-1-2 teams battle it out as the Gators, my own Gators, clash with the Phantoms. Intriguing matchups as Eli and Peyton Manning face off in Fantasyland. Jamal Charles and Adrian Peterson on the opposite sides here as well. Phantoms have the better offense, but the Gators have a better defense. I wouldn't be surprised to see this game fall either way. My pick is whatever quarterback scores the most, that's the team that's going to win the game. Of course, I think it'll be my quarterback, but if Peyton Manning puts up, you know, 15 points or more, I think Mike Thomas's team is going to take it. Being that I'm a little under the weather guy, I'm going to be a little short with my predictions the rest of the way out. We'll get her again next week and be a little more detailed. So my apologies to any of the teams that I'm about to talk about that I haven't dropped a lot of detail on. The undefeated Lost in the Sauce squad takes on the 2-1 Dirty Hippies. I'm going to go with Lost in this one. I like their matchups on both offense and defense. For the Hippies, I like Lost's overall players and matchups better right now. Hippies are going with two tight ends set in this one this week, and they have Alfred Blue in the lineup when Foster is potentially coming back. I mentioned before I'm not sold on Joseph Randall. All that leads me to go with Lost in the Sauce to stay undefeated. Gracie's Got Game takes on the winless Bierman's Brawlers. Gracie still has Brady in the lineup. That's going to cost him $5 if it's still there tomorrow at noon. So long as they swap out a quarterback, I'm going to pick Gracie in this one. I just can't get excited about Beer's lineup right now. I do love Andrew Luck, and I think he's due for a 4-touchdown game or something like that. But then I see Rashad Jennings, and I don't think Jennings should be starting for anybody in the league unless it's an injury situation or a bye week fill-in due to matchups. Just don't think Rashad Jennings belongs in anyone's starting lineup, especially when you have the old flex rule that you can start anyone. Stevie Johnson is great, but against Cleveland, I think the Chargers are going to run the ball. I still don't know if Seattle will use Jimmy Graham. Not big on having Connor Barwin in the lineup. On the flip side, Gracie has 12 in the bank and earning interest for this week, courtesy of Le'Veon Bell. He's got Cobb against San Francisco and good defensive matchups. That's why my pick is Gracie. Next, the undefeated Kenosha Commandos take on the 2-1 Typhoons, possible game of the week over in the Renaissance. Kenosha with two guys in the lineup that are currently on bye. That's going to be a $5 fine if it sticks through tomorrow at noon. Potentially would also lead to the first loss of the year for Kenosha, because I can tell you that I'll put money on the line. I don't think you can play the Typhoons too short and still win. Typhoons are just too solid for that. I'm not big on the Typhoons' offense, but their defense looks good, and Tyrod Taylor has been doing great. For the Commandos, if they sub the quarterback and tight end out, I think they'll win. They have such a good team, and there are some good matchups up on their squad this week, such as Mark Ingram against Dallas, Kyle Rudolph, who I mentioned, most targeted receiver for the Vikings thus far this year, Fitzgerald against St. Louis. Commandos are my pick to win, but again, if they don't sub those guys out, then switch me over to the Typhoons. Last but not least, the 0-3 Saiyans look to get their first win of the season as they go up against the 1-2 Champions of Chaos. For Champs, nice on offense with Gore, Yeldon, Demaryius Thomas. Devontae Adams isn't going to play, I don't believe, so she's going to need to sub him out. But otherwise, the old flex is looking good. Offensive flex is good. Stafford is where it falls apart. Stafford is terrible right now. Detroit's offense is terrible. I wonder how long their coach is going to stick. I watched that game on Monday night this past week, and I just stood there shaking my head saying, what did you do? You know, this guy is just hapless. Caldwell, and he's got Lombardi calling the plays. Just that offense is baffling me how it can be that bad, how they can take over a team. And it's not like Schwartz, the coach before them, was some offensive guru or genius. It's just a matter of how can you have all these talented players and playmakers like Calvin Johnson. You've got Stafford. You got Joique Bell. Ebron's catching balls well. Golden Tate. You've got talent there. Abdullah's a young running back. And you just can't even get a drive going. You can't get a solid drive going. You can't get any big plays with all those playmakers. Just hapless is, I guess, the word. So seeing Stafford against Seattle, who's still a very good defense. They're at home. They're tough to play at home. That's just not going to be pretty. Luke Kuechly, by the way, that was Sunday night that I was watching Detroit and Denver. Kuechly may not play as well, so Chris Koch may need more than one lineup adjustment tomorrow before noon. For Corey, he's wondering, Corey Manville of the Saiyans, he's wondering if Drew Brees is going to play and be himself and whether Marshawn Lynch is going to play on Monday night, which I doubt he will. I just think it's an ugly match here. Going to pick the Saiyans to win their first of the year, but it's a coin flip. In fact, I'm going to it's tough to pick. If Chris didn't have Stafford at quarterback, I could pick the Champs to win. I just hate that Stafford pick so much that I'm leaning towards the Saiyans. So I'm going to go with the Saiyans to win this one. If Champs of Chaos boots Stafford out of the lineup, then you can pencil me in for the Champs. But otherwise, we're going Saiyans. That's going to do it for the King for a Day Week 4 preview show. Until next time, I'm Rick Goreski saying thank you very much for joining me. Win or lose, everybody, I want you to stay strong. So let's end it here. Kelly Clarkson, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, like this damn cold. You know the bed feels warmer. I'm cutting in. That's, I think, one of the coolest intros to a song. The bed feels warmer sleeping here alone. I dream in color. That's awesome stuff, man. I don't care if it's girly or not. Take care, everyone. What doesn't kill you makes